For some other people, if you can't go to party, you look for a church where they can boogie down where they call it praise worship. It was a church I went to, they said, man, the praise is bam. So I went there for the praise. I said, you mean the disco is bam? We call this one praise. It's really serious, that's it. That's why I did Lagos. I said, this is what you mean by the praise is bam. I said, all of you, get away. This is not a jam session. And real jam. Now make sure they're full on Sunday. I'm telling you, don't be deceived that everybody there is taking the word seriously. Some came to take their medicine for the week, all right? Against all the depression in society. American psychiatrist that comes to Nigeria had better go to Bible school. Because you know, go see patient. If an American psychiatrist comes to Nigeria, anytime they come, the people they will bring to you will be chained. Because here, <it's laughs> the Lord is good. Now, what I'm saying is that, so you see, a lot of those things, you know what's going on? People are not taking the word seriously. They are not expecting it to come to pass. Is my soul is troubled. Tell me something that is nice. Because words are very powerful. Even if you are not even, if they are not prophetic, they are not words that will come to pass. They heal. That's why the Bible said they have healed the hurts or the brokenness of the daughters of my people slightly. Saying peace, peace, when in fact there is no peace. But they were healed slightly. They were healed for a time. It will wear out after a few days. They come and hear it again. They have been destroyed, but they are happy. They are going into captivity, but they are rejoicing. It's the day captivity will come upon them, they will realize that there was no peace. But the men who kept on prophesying peace when there was no peace, they were healing the hearts of the people slightly. You are getting what I'm trying to say? But listen, that's not what the word of God is supposed to be. The word of God is to be taken literally. Are you getting my point? If I say that God, you know, I said something a few weeks ago, that your business can be 100,000 naira today. I'm talking in business terms now. And then in 2 years, God will multiply it 1,000-fold to be 100 million. I don't mean that's a joke. I'm actually expecting somebody to come and testify. I don't know what I heard I said. I don't mean it as a joke. There's one brother, you know, he said something once. I can't even remember saying it. But I know it's true what he said. He said, I came to their school and I preached and said, somebody listening to me, we build a company bigger than ExxonMobil. He said he jumped into the air. Since then, that young man has not forgotten. It's in his mind. In this my life, ExxonMobil will be small compared to what I built. A lot of people thought it was entertainment. When he was telling me, I didn't even remember saying it. He said, but I never forgot. The time I said it was a poor student who was coming to school on scholarship. Are you getting the point? He said he jumped. He was a young boy. When I said he probably be like 19 or 20 years of age. Or okay, let's say maybe 22, thereabout. He said he jumped. When I said it, he didn't have money. His father didn't have money. He would tell me that out of his scholarship money, he would send money to his siblings. But he heard the word, he jumped. As he talked to him, he said, he hasn't forgotten. So when he's making choices, is that, listen, one day, I am going to build a company that's bigger than ExxonMobil. It's not entertainment. So when you hear me say something like that, I don't mean it as a joke. I don't mean it as a joke. It's been grieving, well, not really grieving, it's been burdening my soul. You know, I pray about this in the last few days. Come on, I will feel terrible. I'll feel like Isaiah. If I'm under 15 years, I can't point to planes flying by and say, that guy used to be in Kingdom World. God in heaven knows I'm not joking. If people I'm preaching to today in 15 years, they can't give 15 million naira without thinking as an offering, then I think I'm wasting my time. It's not meant to be a joke. I don't mean that's a joke. When I say one day you and I will be speaking, are you getting my point? And your phone will ring. And you say, excuse me, sir, please. That's the Ban Ki-moon. That's whoever is the secretary of the United Nations that time. I don't mean it as a joke. I expect God in heaven knows I'm not kidding. That one day I'll be talking with somebody who I used to preach to. And he'll say, sir, please. Can you talk to the president?
I don't mean that as a joke. I don't mean that as a joke at all. I'm not trying to make anybody happy. I don't mean it as a joke. I'm telling you, I'll be talking to you one day. And your phone will ring. And you will look. And you will say, excuse me, sir. You answer the phone. You say, Your Excellency, please let this man bless you. You need it. And I'll say, who is that? You tell me, it's the president. I say, which president? The president of the Federal Republic. I don't mean that's a joke. And I will take the phone and say, sir, it shall be well with you. Your enemies will not get you. Wisdom from above will hit you so bad, you'll be calling me yourself over the next few days. I don't mean it as a joke. I do not mean it as a joke. I do not mean it as a joke. I'm not preaching that to those who are earning fast salaries now. I'm preaching to anybody who's listening. You are getting what I'm saying? I'm preaching it to anybody who's listening. Listen to me. And God is itching, you know? Like my friend and I used to joke then, you know? That's what God is doing. Have you seen a bull that wants to charge? No, could they raise dust? Say, you want to try me? That's what he's doing. See, I'm doing like this. It's a question. You want to try me? But when you see the thing doing like this, the boy, shift. And right now, God is, that's what God is doing. Waiting for anybody who will say, boy, more try. Are you getting what I'm saying? I believe it very strongly. I believe that I was sent, listen to me, so as to prepare people that will allow God do these things in their lives. It's not entertainment. It is absolutely not entertainment. So anytime you hear words like that, let's get back to our message for the day. If it shakes you, Jesus said, don't worry. Pray that you do not fall into the temptation of unbelief. That man shouted to the Lord Jesus. He said, I believe. Help my unbelief. I was saying that if you go to Hebrews chapter 3, yes, let's go down there. You see that the whole story of the book of Hebrews, this is what prayer is about. Now I've been telling you, Christian prayers is 1% against the enemies and 99% against more important things. I told you that my wife joined a prayer a few days ago. They say monitoring spirits. We'll bind monitoring spirits. We'll bind assessment spirits. We'll bind investigating spirits. Familiar spirits. Unfamiliar spirits. After my wife looked, say, what's going on here? You know, I get spirit problem in this place, apparently. And this is normal prayer at night, too. Say, let us pray at night. How should Christians pray at night? Father, we thank you for it has been a good day. In peace will I lay me down and sleep, because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. Lord, even as I sleep, there are things you are still adding into my life. Thank you. We'll see you in the morning. What do you need past like that? Are you getting my point? This is sleep. This is sleep preparation prayer. It shouldn't be more than 1 minute. And the last bit of it, pray that God will make you say it with a yawn.
Lord, thank you very much.
I mean it literally. If you want to pray about important matters, separate it. If you want to sleep, your prayer should be more than those lines. I thank you, Lord, it's been a good day. In peace will I lay me down and sleep. For the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. That takes care of all the night troubles. Are you getting my point? And there are things you are adding to your beloved, even while they sleep. So, Lord, continue increasing my business as I go to sleep. All those my business partners in New Zealand, it's 12 noon for them right now. Let them be increasing production. All my Chinese friends, let them be increasing production. That's covered by that single verse in Psalm 127. The Lord gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. And just 3 lines. You go and sleep. We're chasing monitor lizards around. You know, I've told you that these are problems of Africans, superstitious people. If their car doesn't start in the morning, it's because of his engine spirit that entered into it at night. The Lord is good. Those are not the things we spend our prayer on. That's what I'm saying. Our prayers, we should spend more time on things like this. I mean, I do expect that you hear things like that, suddenly you just say, yes. You know, there are two kinds of people that shout and they just agree instantly. Like I was saying earlier, those who think an aeroplane is the same price as a luxury bus, you know, they don't know the thing you said. They don't understand. It's good for them, actually, because whether they're ignorant or whatever it is, at least, the only problem with ignorance is that when the devil wants to tempt you, he tempts you with information. Do you hear what I said? That's the only problem with ignorance. When the devil wants to tempt an ignorant man, he tempts him with what? Information. The man has been shouting, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are going to build, we are going to start airlines, we are going to buy planes, we won't stop with us, it's our small vehicles, we are going to move high. As he's sharing it with a friend, say, look at me, eh? We are the great man, flying Nigeria around. I say, wake up, my friend. You know the price of a small plane is how much? $50 million. Eh? Does the pastor back in, though? That is the problem with ignorance. Otherwise, it would not have been a problem. Even if it's in the midst of ignorance, you are shouting your faith, it wouldn't have been a problem, but for the time of temptation. And that's what I'm saying. In the time of temptation, Paul now said, at such times, let us draw near to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help. He said what? In the time of need. Open to that Hebrews chapter 3. If you read the whole of it, that's what he was talking about. Because of time, like I said, I won't read everything. If you just look from verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 3, he said, take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Can you see that? He said, but encourage one another. Don't forget, just notice, take care, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you should be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Notice that. In the beginning, you heard that prophetic word. I said, maybe using this business thing as an illustration. This is an illustration. There are many sides to it. You understand my point? There are many. It's just an illustration, all right? So he said, okay, yes, no matter how small you are, something greater than ExxonMobil is coming out of your life. You know what the Bible says? All you need is to hold fast that assurance firm till the end. You hear that? Listen, what the devil does in life is to persuade you. You know, I've been saying that. Is what? Persuasion. Let me say it again. Satan doesn't have the kind of power we think of. He can't just wake up and say, you will fail. And then you will just fail like that. If he did have that power, he won't discuss with anybody. All this discussion is because, oh boy, I don't get that kind of power. So will you lend me the power that God gave you to use to destroy your own life? That's the discussion. That's what it's all about. So he has to remind the sick man all the time who's believing God for healing that you will die. You're going to die. Let me just tell you that you will now watch TV. Say, yes, the doctors have found out that this kind of conditions, the first year, about 65% of the people die. The strong ones make it for 6 months after. No matter what, at the end of 2 years, they're all dead. Satan said, Shebe, I told you. Was that not what I said? It's persuasion. Are you getting my point? That's what the story is all about. He explains to every young man that's struggling, trying to believe God, to overcome the challenges of life. Say, oh boy, relax. Look, listen, forget that way they talk. Eh? I want to preach. Let's be practical. You have to be wise. All this satanic wisdom, you know what I'm saying? You have to be wise. A bed in hand is worth two in the bush. Like I was saying the other day, look, it's better. This is Pastor Banky talking now. It's crucial that my life counts. You understand? Let me take the risk and die in the process. You understand my point? I'm not having even risk for anything at all. Tell the devil like that. Satan said, why take that kind of risk? A bed in hand. Will you be the first person that just be average? That's all. And listen, let me tell you something. It doesn't stop.
Satan not the stop that is trying to persuade you. The only thing that happens is that the voice gets weaker and weaker. Two things make them weaker. One, as you continue to hear the word of God, which is more powerful, the voice of the enemy gets weaker. And secondly, as the word begins to produce in your life, do you understand my point? The more results you see, the weaker the voice of the enemy. But Satan doesn't stop. So it's a fight. It's what? Those are the kind of things you use prayer for. Let's continue reading. You see what I'm saying. We need to do what? Hold the assurance firm until the end. If we can do that, believe me, we will see the power of God manifested in our lives. He said, let's hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses, that is, essentially they were believers. That's what he was saying. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? To whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient. Disobedience and unbelief, they are the same thing. So we see then that they were not able to enter because of what? Unbelief. So the problem was what? Unbelief. The next line, there was no break. Paul didn't break. Whoever wrote Hebrews did not break. The next line says, Therefore, let us fear, lest while the promise remains of entering his rest, any of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word preached, the word they heard, did not profit them, because it was not united in faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed enter that rest. The rest is the place where God's power works without your own effort. Just as he said, as I swore in my rod, they shall not enter. Now, I want to quickly get somewhere. So he kept on explaining what this rest is about. He said again in verse 6, since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of what? Disobedience. All right? He now said, for that reason, he was speaking again about rest. I want to quickly get there. That there remains the rest. Those who did not enter because of disobedience. He said, therefore, let us be diligent to enter. Verse 11. Lest any should fall through following what? The same example of what? Of unbelief or disobedience. Whichever scripture you are using. He said, following the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is living and active. That is, the word of God can do that which he has spoken that it will do. The only reason why it doesn't do it is because of what? Unbelief. So he says, now, please, I'm not going to jump to where I'm going. We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, because we have a high priest that can sympathize, I'm paraphrasing verse 15, with the feeling of our infirmities. Let us therefore, that's why I'm going verse 16, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The very next line says that since we have a high priest, or I'm summarizing it now, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, that's what he said below. That is, when there are temptations to enter into unbelief, when there are temptations to doubt, you are getting what I'm saying. That's what it's all about. Everything he was explaining is the fact that if we can hold fast our assurance till the end, we will see the result of God, which he calls entering into his rest. That the reason why people don't see it is because somewhere along the line, they lose it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Somewhere along the line, it slips away from them. Somewhere along the line, the thing they were holding on to, their heart just fails and they let the thing go. It flies away from them. That's what he calls disobedience. So no matter how long they have held on to it, as long as they have not yet seen the manifestation, if they let it go, they will lose out entirely. And there are temptations, he was saying. He said, but we have a high priest who understands temptations. We have a high priest who knows the kind of pressures that people can come under. We have a high priest who understood the will of God for his life, yet the day he was supposed to execute that will, his heart also failed. So what did he do? He went into the garden to go and pray. That is the kind of high priest we have. He says, so when we are also in trial, when we also are facing the temptations, what do we do? We also go to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The Lord said to the disciples, pray that you do not fall into temptation. Are you getting my point? This type does not disappear except by prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So the unbelief is what we are fighting. So what do we use? Listen, you will hear, a friend was in my house yesterday, when he tells you some of the things that are going on, in high levels of government, you'll be afraid. You will lose heart. You will. Listen, sometimes, after you have heard plenty word or you have made plans, you know, dollar shook a few weeks ago. Started sliding, then one day, it hit 169 last week Friday. Not this Friday, the Friday before that. All right? That was about 10 days ago. Even I went to pray. Because we pay Omega Channel in US dollars. All right? We don't pay them now. That's our TV people. We pay them in dollars. So if dollar, the value doubles for us overnight, what kingdom what has to pay? All right? Also doubles. We don't pay in Naira. Our radio people, smarting. If dollar changes, we give it, agreement is in Naira. Are you getting what I'm saying? But for international TV, that's our satellite people that broadcast our television Disney programs, we pay them in dollars. And we were due to pay. Hey! And I called someone and said, $1.69. I said, for what? I felt bad. I actually went to pray. Now, the point I'm making is this. There are times you finish making plans, you see that kind of thing. Oh boy, your heart will shake. God is not a problem. The Lord expects it. What he doesn't expect is for you to abandon vision because of it. What he doesn't expect is for you to now say, since God swore by the dollar and not by himself. Are you getting my point? You know, Bible says, by myself I have sworn. In blessing will I bless you. If you continue reading, you'll get there. In that Hebrews chapter 4 down to chapter 6. All right? You see in chapter 6. Since the Lord swore by the dollar, not by himself, let's leave this matter out. That is one the Lord doesn't expect. If you made your projections when Naira was 155 to the dollar, and suddenly jumps to 169, it should affect you a bit. Come on. It should. What it does to you is what the issue now is. If it drives you to the place of prayer, then you are following the will of God. But if it says that, oh boy, let's abandon it, there's too much uncertainty. That is when people don't enter into his rest. You now say, what do we do? Simple, that's what we are preaching. At that time, people rush to the throne of grace. It's simple prayer. What kind of prayer? Say it, look, last week when it affected me, I said, Lord, this is too high now. This is good money we are spending now, waiting. I didn't say more than that. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. And if for any reason, the thing stayed at 169, I said, Lord, you know, you got to double the amount of Naira that you are sending to us. But I am not going to call Omega Channel and say, sorry, we cannot broadcast anymore because the price of the dollar has now gone up. That's the one I do not want to do. Because we'll go from Omega to things that are bigger. Are you getting my point? We are going to only increase, and that is not predicated upon dollar improving. You get what I'm saying? It's not. Our vision was made before we knew we had to pay anybody in dollar. All right? We'll hold on to that vision. We will. We will. If there are things that want to scare us, we'll go and pray. We'll go and pray. And God works miracles. I've told you, let me prophesy for you again. The time will come, you will not ever, listen, this is a prophetic word. I've provided for my wife a lot, so she doesn't need this one. She has plenty. She can hear it again. But those of you who have not heard it, you will not ever step, a time is coming short, into a banker's office to discuss terms with him. You will call him, he will come to your office. Yeah. You will call him, say, is that the regional manager of Zenith? He said, no, he's the branch manager. I said, okay, tell your regional manager I called him. And that one comes, say, it's me. Okay, regional manager, how far? I said, okay, we deal. He said, I did my office. Can you get here in 15 minutes? He said, no problem, sir. Say amen. Yeah. It will happen to you. Yeah. It will happen to you. What I'm just trying to say, just by the way, all right, if you're a banker, it's not you. If you're a Christian banker, it's not you. It's the industry. All this mess they're making by Islamic banking. Islamic banking is better than common banking in that area. I'm telling you the truth, in that area. Because what I was saying that is that, I just had to find that testimony. The bankers don't care. They will come and kill the same industry they told you to start so they can get their money back. That's why Henry Ford never borrowed $1 from them. Never. He used to borrow money from his customers. If his car is selling for $1,000, if they need money, he will sell it for $1,050. When he doesn't need money again, he will reduce it to $950. Please understand the point. I'm not saying when you go home now, you see your brother is a banker, begin boxing, no between where you talk with that too. I'm talking, there's a principle behind the thing that I'm saying, all right? I'm just talking about God working miracles, all right, and testimonies. Just give that one as an illustration of why you shouldn't abandon ideas and projects because things are shaking. You pray. Listen, Christians are supposed to do what? Pray. When you pray, God will... Listen, sometimes you are doing things that are not correct and you think you are doing it rightly. The only reason you will find out that it is wrong is because you prayed. When you pray, God will work miracles on your behalf. What I want to say is not nice, but if God does it, he will sink a ship. Oh, you don't know what I'm saying. There are people who have conspired to ruin you. They've gone to bring all their goods on one particular ship. God will sink the whole thing. The ship he sank is worth maybe $500 million. He doesn't care. He used to preserve your $5 million. So you are righteous, they are wicked. Don't bother about saying amen. Because I know you don't want to feel like a wicked soul. I don't blame you. That's how good Christians should be. All right? It's good. Stay like that. One day you are going to say amen to that prayer. Don't worry. Not now. One day you say, Lord, please, that prayer that guy prayed 12 years ago. Can you still remember it? The Lord said yes. Amen. We shall have an emergency. Amen. Isn't God is very kind to wicked people? No, he's not. Oh. And they put you at stake. Anyway, let me not go in there. Let me sit on my message for the day. All right, let me just sit on so we can get out of here. What am I saying? He said, draw near to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That time of need is not the time we need money. That time of need was not talking about the time we are sick. That time of need is not talking about when we have something like personal need. It was talking about when there's pressure on our faith. It can come in any form. It can be the money need. It can be the sickness problem. I'm not saying that cannot be. But that's not what he's describing primarily. He's describing the pressure on your faith. He's describing what? The pressure on your faith when suddenly you are being pushed to doubt. That man we read in 2 Kings chapter 7, if he knew what was good for him, if he understood this thing, when the prophet finishes saying it, you go, look. Sir, do you believe that? And the king said, yeah, he's a prophet. He knows what he's saying. I'll go to one corner. Say, Father, I'm not sure that man knows the price of things right now. You see, once you are talking to God, it is never doubt. You understand my point? Because when you are uttering it before God, it's a confession of doubt. Are you getting my point? And that is called the cleansing of unrighteousness. It forgives the sin and cleanses unrighteousness. Say, Lord, I just heard a prophet talk. When I heard it, I know we'll lie you. I didn't think the guy knew what he was saying. But, Shah, be it unto me according to your word. You know, a man cannot speak against you. As you are talking like that, that's it. The Lord is rearranging your inside. He's fine-tuning it. At the point, I say, why not? In fact, Lord, I wouldn't mind seeing it. He will convert you in that process. Are you getting my point? Sometimes what the Lord will do, because Elijah, the faith of that young man was about to ruin the defense that Elisha had. The faith of the young man was wrecked. The Lord said to him, Lord, please open his eyes. Sometimes when you are praying like that, the Lord will open your eyes. And I believe very strongly, when the angels came to strengthen the Lord Jesus, that's what they did. They opened his eyes. And the Bible says, for the joy that they suddenly put before him, Haba, he received the strength to endure the cross, despise the shame. Because what he saw, you won't understand. I was thinking about it a few days ago. Imagine a woman being pregnant those days in Calabar and they diagnosed that she had twins. It's depression from that day till she delivers. You know that? So I'm sure God looked. No, Jesus looked and said, one of the things they showed him, see a pregnant woman in Calabar those days. They show you one that's depressed and crying because she's carrying twins. Then they just show her face lighting up that no, nobody's going to kill my twins, but we're going to rejoice and be glad. Are you getting my point? He saw, oh God, he said, as I'm growing and observing life, I'm understanding more and more what the Bible calls salvation and redemption. that when they showed the Lord Jesus what was at stake, he went to the cross. What am I saying? Sometimes we are praying like that. God will just take you. And suddenly you start having understanding. You will see what he's about to do. You will see the battles he's about to fight on your behalf. So when that young man looked and he saw chariots of fire circling around the mountain, he too, he relaxed. When the guy approached, when the soldiers from Syria approached, he was not bothered. He knew that they had people on their side. That calmed the whole situation down. What am I saying? When your heart is set on fire like that, what do? You pray. Prayer is not by any means. It's first of all, this is a battle for your faith. He said, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. It shows, therefore, that when faith is threatened to fail, it's time to pray. Have you learned anything today? Have you learned anything today? In that case, we have already over a short time. So let's just rise to our feet. We'll just pray for a minute and we'll be out of here. Let's just give the Lord thanks. All right, let's give the Lord thanks. And as you are doing that, I don't know what to say specifically to each person, but I believe that each person was hearing, all right? You were hearing as I was speaking, and you know exactly where your faith is threatening to fail. There are things you have waited for a while, and you're beginning to wonder what's going on. Did you hear a wrong word? Did you have a wrong understanding? Did you have a wrong vision? Why is this thing not manifesting the way it should manifest? It's time to just speak to the Lord about it. And like I say all the time, our prayer meeting here is not just to pray, but to learn to pray. Whatever prayer we've started here, go back home, continue this night. Take time out, retire early today. Kneel down beside your bed and begin to pray. If you fall asleep, don't be angry. Just wake up after a while and continue. You understand the point? But let's begin to pray. About that thing that is putting pressure on our faith, we drag it to the Lord in prayer. Say, I will not doubt, Lord, but this thing is trying to make me doubt. I cast my cares upon you because you care for me. That's what it means. When the Lord spoke about prayer, and you see some versions add the word fasting to it. I've told you Christian fasting is not punishing yourself. It's taking time aside from the pleasures of every day and the pressures of every day. Those two things. Both the pleasures and the pressure. Plenty talk, watching television, just chopping to wear yourself out, all right? And rushing up and down to pursue your business. Taking time out, all right, for a while to pray, to seek the face of God. That's what he was saying. That's what takes away this unbelief. The demon goes out because of faith, not because of prayer. If he doesn't go out, it's not because you didn't pray or you did not fast. It is because of unbelief. But how do we take away the unbelief? Doubt is charging against your heart in different areas. God says, it is time to lay the doubt down before my throne. I will give you great mercy and grace to help at that time when pressure is being put upon your faith. Father, we give you thanks because you have heard us. This is the victory. The Bible said this is the confidence we have towards, if we ask anything according to his way, he hears us. So this is a victory we have. It's our faith. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Father, we thank you because we have the victory. Because what we are dreaming of, Lord, was born of you. And it will manifest in this life in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I prophesy upon your people, Lord, that your glory will shine forth in their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. That even though our beginning may be small, according to your word, our latter end shall greatly, not nicely, you know, there are two kinds of increase. There's normal increase. If you go to school, you get a good job, you get promoted. If they don't fire you, you retire as a senior director or something like that. That's normal increase. He said, but your latter end shall greatly increase. There's a difference. There's a difference. You can imagine what that difference is based on what we have been saying. So I prophesy to you again that your latter end shall greatly increase in the name of Jesus Christ. In this life, you will see the manifestation of God. Listen, don't use people around you as a standard, all right? A lot of people, that's one of the problems we have in our country and in black countries generally. There are too many people who have not really succeeded in truth that are beclouding the judgment of young people. They went into government, stole some money, opened a few companies here and there, and people think that's a sign of progress. I said before that somebody said that if Bill Gates were to be in a place where you are pouring money on the floor, it would be a waste of his time to pick it up. Steal money to that level, let me see. Are you getting what I'm saying? Father God, increase the vision for your children in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let our latter ends greatly increase in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Great visions will not depart from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Great dreams will not depart from your eyes in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please, let me encourage you. Talk like a crazy man is good. Bishop Oyedepo said something those days. He said, even before Nigeria began to think about privatization, he walked to Durbar Hotels in Kaduna and look and say, one day we are going to buy it. He didn't have money. Nobody was selling it. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I was discussing with a friend yesterday night. They're talking about this man, this person, one big politician. He built this, he built that. I said, let them be building. Please, let them steal some more. You know, the Lord is good, though. Say amen.
Amen.
The Lord is good, though. Say amen.
Amen.
You know why I said so? God has ensured that the money being stolen in Nigeria cannot be taken abroad anymore.
Amen.
Yes, that's round one. They are building all over the place. I'm very happy. You will buy some of those things at less than a quarter of their true value in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a job. Stealing is a job. God gave it to some people. You don't know that. Yeah. He said to the wicked, he has given a duty to gather. You don't know that. Sometimes when I look at Cosmo, I said the time is not ripe. They are keeping it for us. We are coming. What did I say?
We are coming.
I said, I'm not preaching happy. I'm not trying to make you feel good. I'm prophesying. You will buy things that men stole money to build.
Yeah.
Because of the ordinance of God and the order of God, 10% of the value is what you will pay for it.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, let me tell you this story. You know, just to encourage you. I was reading the story, The Art of the Deal, by Donald Trump. He owns a jet, which if you had to buy brand new, then it's now almost $50 million. That was about $35 million. The company bought it for $35 million. It's 737. He said he saw it was off for sale. It's a company they were liquidating. So they said, make an offer. He offered them $5 million. I forgot how much he bought it. Maybe like $7 or $10 million. He bought for that price this private jet, which if he wanted to buy a new, he'd have paid $35 million for it at that time. He said, they are liquidating the company. Anybody brings money, they will release. He bought that thing at less than half of the true value. There are drug pushers who are building hotels. Don't be angry. Be happy. Say, praise God. Father, I thank you. Let them not catch him until he has finished this one. They will sell that thing to get him out of trouble so that you can buy it. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
It's a job. They are doing their job. Do yours. Your own job is continue righteousness, continue to pray, continue believing God, be growing small, small. The day you suddenly leap in growth, those guys will have built, ah, God. God said to the people of Israel, I won't drive them out because you are not ready to take it. Are you getting my point? He said, I won't drive them out yet. What's your problem? Let them be cultivating the land. When you are ready, I go move them. So, you know your job? Cultivate righteousness, he said. Dwell in the land. Learn faithfulness. Learn prudence. Learn integrity. Learn accounting. Learn growth. Learn everything. Because your latter end shall greatly increase.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. Because you are so good. In Jesus' name we are prayed.